Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 47, and we are recording this on Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. I am Tim, and I'm joined tonight by John. How are you tonight, John?
I miss Liz.
I miss Liz, too. She was here last week. She should be here next week.
She was here last week, and she'll be here.
Yeah. She's always with us in spirit, though. That's the great thing about Liz.
And on Instagram.
And on a lot of Instagram. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So let's see, before we jump into our show, a few network announcements. Of course, as we mentioned last week, we do have Random Chatter merchandise available, which is run through T Public. You can go over to randomchatter.com/community and find our store online from there. I actually just received my stuff last week that I got from them. I got a t-shirt, I got a hoodie and some stickers, and I'm very, very happy with the quality of the stuff.
They looked really nice.
Yeah.
I'm a slacker and I haven't ordered yet. And I need to rectify that.
Yes. Yes, you absolutely should. We're actually also, I don't know if I mentioned last week or not, we are working on an updated logo for this show, for Guardians of the MCU, which we're going to put up there. I believe we're also going to have Echo Base's logo up there. So basically, whatever logos we put up, you'll be able to get all of that merchandise with those particular logos on it. So you can get, you know, one of everything. Have a Random Chatter hoodie, have a Guardians hoodie, have an Echo Base hoodie. You could have a show hoodie for like every day of the week.
What I would like is Echo Base slippers, a Guardians hoodie, mm-hmm. and a Random Chatter coffee mug for weekends.
That sounds so nice, John.
I feel like a robe needs to some... like. I feel like actually Echo Base would probably need to be like a Jedi-esque robe,
mm-hmm.
but then I need something for the slippers.
And you need like pajama pants.
Can I get DC Talk slippers?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Totally. Yeah.
All right.
That sounds very nice.
I mean, I feel like that's just a great way to laze around on a Sunday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can display all your favorite shows. I think that's a great idea, John. Also, last week we had mentioned that there would be an Endgame review coming from Eric, Lou, Fred, and Andrea, and that review did in fact happen. You should have caught it on this feed. It was primarily promoted as a Movie Chatter episode, but we did run it over here on the Guardians of the MCU feed. And it was a really good review. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, John.
I have not. I'm way behind on podcasts. Just crazy amount of work. It's. Have you ever gotten to the list where you look at how many podcasts are unplayed in iTunes, and you're like, I don't know when I'm ever going to get to all of these.
Yeah. It's a little overwhelming when it hits that.
I need a good road trip to knock them out.
Well, we are supposed to be planning a camping trip here sometime soon, John.
We are supposed to be planning a camping trip sometime soon. And that would require a road trip on my part.
Absolutely. We got to figure that out.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's a great episode. They had a lot of similar discussion that we did here on our show, but they also had some really different perspectives on things, and they even got into some different topics that we didn't cover. So it was really interesting. It was well done. It was very thought provoking. I appreciated very much listening to it. They poked at us a little bit, which was fine. I'm always happy with that. And it was good. It was really good. So I highly recommend that. Of course, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We appreciate reviews and spreading the word. You can contribute to the network at randomchatter.com/Patreon, and you can join our conversations over on Discord at randomchatter.com/Discord. So with that whole preamble, also a bit of a reminder that we may get into some bit spoilers here and there on Avengers Endgame. Pretty much everything that we're covering today is news, but we really never know where the discussion is going to go. So if you haven't yet seen Endgame, just, you know, tread carefully. That's all. Just throwing that caution in there.
And seriously, Go see it.
Yeah. For the love of Thanos, why have you not seen the movie yet?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you like our podcast and you haven't seen it yet, like, please actually write in and let us know. I would like to know why.
Yeah. Yeah. And we get, I mean, hey, sometimes it's financial or family or work, there's all sorts of crazy things. So we're not like throwing shade at anyone for this. We totally get it.
No.
But if there is anyone out there, just so we know, like even from a spoiler perspective, like, hey, we need to be careful about talking about this. We're over 3 weeks past the release date. Should we have to be careful anymore? Is there anyone out there yet from our listeners, from our hundreds, maybe thousands of listeners, John? Maybe. Probably not. Maybe. But maybe.
We're very popular in Norway.
Yes. Yes. I've heard that. I actually want to see the updated statistic on that.
I'm telling you, we cracked that top 100.
Totally. So, hey, speaking of Endgame, a little bit of a box office update for Endgame, just because we like to see that meteor continuing to rise. As of earlier today, it had eclipsed $2.5 billion worldwide, which is just crazy awesome. Yeah. Domestically, we have gone to $728.5 million. That is in 18 days of domestic release. Globally, Endgame has surpassed Titanic, and James Cameron, who folks may remember a few months ago, was kind of poo-pooing the superhero genre or comic book genre of films. He did humbly eat a little bit of crow, and he very publicly congratulated the folks at Disney Entertainment and Marvel with his congratulations, saying that Endgame has sunk the Titanic. And had a cool little graphic with it where, like, the Avengers logo was an iceberg and hitting the Titanic and such. So it was pretty good. Obviously, we are still expecting Endgame to be beating out Avatar. And regardless, this puts Zoe Saldana in 3 out of the top 5 performing movies in the world in the history of ever. And I think that is freaking awesome. So Endgame, Avatar, and Infinity War. So congrats to Zoe Saldana. Either way, I think that's just great.
So when Endgame sunk the Titanic, in this version of the multiverse,
that's Earth 616.
Did Rose make space for Jack on the floating door, or did she let him die in this universe too?
Well, in this universe, he died. What's the universe that Mysterio's from? Earth 8 something?
I don't remember already.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they name it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, Mysterio's from Earth 800 Earth 800 something. And this is Earth 616, which has roots in Marvel Comics as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yep.
But in Mysterio's world, did Jack live?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. In fact, I think in Mysterio's world, Jack climbed onto whatever the floating thing was and dumped her ass off into the water.
Okay.
That might have been it.
and then kept the diamond and sold it.
Yes,
okay. Makes complete sense. Okay. So speaking of movies that have done well in the box office, Captain Marvel, home release dates, digital release date, May 28th. So, just 2 weeks from now, mm-hmm. and out on Blu-ray on June 11th. So I've been thinking about this, and this Endgame, this kind of ties into our next story as well. If come October, I'm plopping down a couple bucks a month to Disney, mm-hmm. probably for the foreseeable future.
Yep. Are you going to buy the movies?
I don't think I am. because I know they're going to be on a service I'm going to pay for.
Right.
And to be quite honest with you, I mean, we watched, my son and I watched Ragnarok earlier this week, watched on Netflix, didn't pull the Blu-ray out. Yep. We watched Infinity War before we went to see Endgame, watched on Netflix, didn't pull the Blu-ray out. There's part of me, I'm like you, I like having the physical disc. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's part of me that's like, I might save a couple bucks.
Now, I haven't seen the technical specs on Disney Plus, but I'm assuming that if something exists in 4K, that's how they're going to stream it.
I would assume. But I mean, and I guess for those that have, you know, 4K, maybe makes a difference. I do not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could see how that would make a difference because I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got a 4K TV and then the 4K Blu-ray player. And I mean, I definitely like it. I can see the difference between 1080 and 4K. I cannot notice, but certainly if it's like 780 or something, I can very much tell the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know sometimes it's streaming services, even if something is intended to be out in 4K, sometimes that can degrade.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not necessarily getting it. But it is darn convenient. I mean, I watch, same as what you said, Marvel movies or whatever, Solo, Rogue One, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so convenient to put it on Netflix. I mean, when you've got, here we've got both smart TVs and then also through Dish, you know, you can queue up Netflix on Dish. So we have our account set on in all those fashions. So regardless of how you want to access it, boom, it's right there. And that's just darn easy. I mean, I guess, you know, first world problem to have to get my sorry ass up off the couch and throw the Blu-ray in. But it's also very easy to be like flipping through the channels and like, there's nothing on. Let's just go over to Netflix. And you start going through Netflix and it's like, yeah, let's just watch a Marvel movie.
Exactly. And I mean, I will also preference this by saying, even between what's streaming, just, you know, speed, some of the lag, everything else, I get it's better, you know, in the Blu-ray. And again, first world problems. I mean, it's, I mean, Tim, you've been to my house. It's what, at most 15 feet from my couch?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a difficult process, you know, but at the end of the day, I can't tell you the last time I broke any of those DVDs and the Blu-rays out. So, and just knowing I'm going to start paying a monthly service, it's like, I'm not sure I run out and get it.
Yeah. 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 It's, Captain Marvel and again, I mean, not throwing anything against Captain Marvel because it was a great movie and I will definitely be watching it on Disney Plus. But because it didn't contribute to the sequential story, I don't know that it's one that I'm going to be as into. Like, you know, I don't go back and watch Captain America, the First Avenger.
And I mean, I think for me, probably, I could see like Captain Marvel will be, I could see it'll be like a Christmas gift for my daughter because she really enjoyed it. It's a stocking stuffer.
Sure.
I would say Endgame's going to be a little bit different because I'm not going to be able to wait for Disney Plus to come out. So they're probably going to suck my money up for that one. But it's really more and more of these other ones that come out. It's going to be more of a conversation where it's how, I mean, like a lot of people and, you know, Tim, you're in this bucket and I think 99.9% of our listeners probably are, it's finite resources for entertainment.
Exactly.
And you know, even Blu-rays don't break the bank, but you know, it all starts to add up when, I mean, and you know, next story with, Disney taking control of Hulu, you know, it's the same thing of like, how many pay services do I need to continue to pay
right,
for?
Right. I certainly, I mean, there are advantages to picking it up, especially, you know, on Blu-ray. Now, usually you end up getting, when you get the Blu-ray of something, it's kind of like this multi-pack where you've got the Blu-ray, maybe there's a bonus disc in there, and they give you the digital download. So like something for your daughter, that's great because she can then throw the digital download on her iPad. And if she's on a road trip or whatever, she can watch it whenever she wants to, and she's not then dependent even on a connection to the streaming service. So like, that's terrific. And you and I both do that for when we fly. I mean, we both have a bunch of movies on our iPads, and you know, that's definitely a nice convenience to have.
How do you know what's on my iPad?
I don't specifically know. I mean, you've mentioned that you watch movies. I don't need to know all your viewing habits, John.
I was worried there for a minute.
I mean, but then also the other thing about buying it, I mean, whether if you get it digital, you can do the same thing, or even with a lot of streaming services, like Netflix, there are certain movies or programming that they will allow you to download. So, I mean, there are a lot of options. And again, with Disney Plus, we don't know what all those options are going to be, when they come out, but you're right. This does kind of change the conversation and considerations a little bit for us going forward. I mean, just kind of this better availability of a lot of these things. So yeah. Good points, John. Good points. As you mentioned, Disney is actually getting full operational control over Hulu. So the other big owner of Hulu is Comcast, and Disney has they announced today. So this is essentially breaking news, John. You're not as excited as I am.
I was reaching for my cup of coffee.
So they announced this morning that Disney is going to be taking full control over Hulu immediately, like as in today this happened. So Comcast is going to have an option to sell its stake in 5 years. So in 2024, Disney will have the option to purchase Comcast stake in this, which is a, you know, 1/3 stake at a valuation of at least, boy, that's a lot of money. $27.5 billion. Holy cow. That seems extraordinary. This is the first time I'm actually seeing that number. I'd never caught that number before when I looked through this article. That's insane. Okay. So both companies are actually benefiting from this because Comcast, which owns NBC Universal, is able to, they cut an agreement with Disney to be able to have programming over on their service as well, their upcoming streaming service. And so they're going to benefit from this because they don't have to deal with it because they are part owner. They don't have to cut any kind of separate distribution contracts. They don't have to pay any user fees or any of that stuff. They get access to this. Disney, though, gets to do whatever they want to with Hulu for the time being. And then again, in 2024, Disney can just buy Comcast outright if they so choose. So, it's an interesting thing. One thing that did come up in one of the articles I read on this today was that the hope is that Disney now will hopefully maybe do some kind of bundling. Probably not right off the bat. I wouldn't expect that for at least a year, because they're going to want to push Disney Plus as much as possible. But we may see some kind of Disney Plus, Hulu, and maybe ESPN Plus bundling coming out of this, where Disney wants... I mean, there's a recognition that, just like you said a few minutes ago, John, a lot of people are raising concern about, okay, this is great that we have this selection of 20 different streaming services, but I'm not going to buy all of them. And eventually these streaming services are going to price themselves out above and beyond services like Dish or your cable provider, or, you know, even with premium packages and that kind of stuff. So, you know, folks really need to be, folks are getting price conscious about this. And I think this is a good opportunity for providers to now give some of these concessions to their customers.
And completely agree. And I mean, we recently picked up Hulu in a kind of full cord cutting approach. Mm-hmm. And it gives us access to shows and networks that we don't need right away TV show access to. And I know some of them have them, you know, but it's, you know, been very beneficial. And so, like, I could see right now, I've got Amazon Prime because I'm a Prime member.
Right.
Netflix and Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I would say those are the top three that we watch. Yep. I will also say, you know, we have CBS All Access right now for the current season of Survivor. That wraps up this Wednesday night.
Is that only offered on CBS All Access?
The current season is not offered via Hulu.
Okay.
At least from my tangential looking. So if I'm wrong on that, please let me know that I screwed that up. And I mean, a plus is I've gotten to see Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, Star Trek Discovery is on there. The new Jordan Peele. Oh gosh, what's the show that he rebooted? Twilight Zone is on there, okay. Which apparently is getting re-released in black and white, which I think is awesome. And I've not seen of the episodes of this. I love the old original Twilight Zone. I don't have CBS All Access, so I do at some point want to check those out.
But I mean, once the current season of Survivor's done, I'm going to turn it off.
Right.
You know, Game of Thrones ends this Sunday night. Monday morning, my HBO account will be turned off. So, I mean, and because I think a lot of us are like this. I think networks hope that we kind of forget to cancel.
Right.
And I wonder eventually, as more and more people do that, how that's going to affect pricing.
Sure.
Because I have to imagine HBO recognizes that during Game of Thrones, they get a gazillion more subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Game of Thrones is over, a lot of them go away.
Yeah.
And I mean, so we'll see what happens. But I mean, I think Disney Plus is going to be one that's going to be added to the, I'm just going to pay that. I mean, I believe it's $6.99 per month, or they offered it slightly less if you buy the year subscription.
Right, for Disney. Yeah.
They have that. Yeah. I mean,
how much
as soon as they start taking orders, it varies. I think I've got the cheapest one, so I think I'm in around, it's between $8 and $10.
Okay. So Hulu has what, different packages in terms of programming?
It depends if you want commercials or not.
Oh, okay.
So they do have one that is no commercials. I have not upgraded to that yet. I'm pretty close because I found with only watching pretty much like things like Netflix or other pay services that don't have commercials, more and more I'm like, commercials are for the birds. I'm done with commercials.
Do they have do their tiers also impact quality as well? Is there like a 4K tier, or is it just everything is in the highest available quality? Or
I believe so. Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
And I mean, some of the stuff is on some of their channels is limited to generally the most recent season. Some have a little bit more depth in their seasons.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, there are some shows where I'm like, God, I would, you know, love to get earlier seasons of that. And they're not available anywhere. But I mean, you know, enough so that, and most of them tend to be on the History Channel. Mm-hmm. which being a history major, no shocker that there's a lot of shows I like on there, where I'm like, God, if History Channel came out with like a monthly pay service, I'd be all over that. which folks, if you're not watching the History Channel, there are a lot of good shows on that. Fortune Fire, hella addicting.
I've heard that's really good. Gosh, we're deviating a lot here, but have you the recent addiction that we've had in my household here for truly just the last few days has been on Netflix, Roman Empire.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, this is fantastic because it's basically a docudrama.
Okay.
It's narrated by Sean Bean, who's like perfect for narrating this.
Yeah.
And so they do give a historical account. They go through different Roman emperors and different eras, and not in chronological order, which is a little frustrating, but I'm fine with it. But there's also there's also actors. So they dramatize and show you a lot of the stuff that they're talking about. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. So if you're interested in like ancient history stuff, yeah.
All right.
Roman Empire on Netflix is awesome. Anyway,
all right, let's go back and get reforced focus. Cause like somehow Liz, who's not recording, is just shouted at me from Florida.
Oh yeah. She's yelling at us. Like loudly. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. The last thing I wanted to mention with the Hulu bit is there have been some people, and of course this isn't the first time that it's been mentioned. Some of this kind of how big is too big kind of thing for Disney. And when the Fox deal went through, a lot of people said, okay, you know, Disney is now even more of a juggernaut, and should we have concerns? They're kind of throwing around that word monopoly, which absolutely does not exist. I mean, by definition, they are not a monopoly. There is plenty of other competition that's out there, but they are big and they are significant. Mm-hmm. And it's, even though I trust in the mouse, you know, massive major corporation ruling over a lot of things does give a little bit of concern, to say the least. Now with the whole Hulu thing, I actually even saw someone to cry that, oh my gosh, where are lawmakers and they shouldn't be letting this happen. All that. Folks, streaming services are not regulated by the FCC. So first of all, there had to be no approval to make this happen. Nothing. This was a company to company agreement. That was it. And particularly right now, because there's no sale.
Yeah.
There's nothing to approve. There's nothing to regulate, all that. And there is, as we mentioned, there are plenty of streaming services out there. There's a lot of competition. So, I'm reluctant to use the words morally or ethically, because I mean, there's nothing morally or ethically being violated with this, but you do just kind of get this little bit of, I don't know what the right word is, John. What's the right word for this? You don't know either. You're a lot of help.
I don't.
but you're feeling what I'm feeling, right? Like there's a concern that like, holy cow, Disney is swallowing everything. Yes, it's awesome because they continue putting out great things and they're giving us access to all this cool stuff. But holy crap, they own half the world kind of thing. So I don't know. But that's it. That's all I got for Hulu.
So not Hulu related.
Not Hulu.
We're going to go back to focusing on the MCU because we are the guardians of it.
True.
Endgame is now going to have an end credit scene, sort of. They have started adding the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, which came out a couple weeks, which does have spoiler-esque elements to it. Mm-hmm. So not, you know, like it's sort of an end credit scene. It, you know, certainly is a trailer. I actually still haven't seen it for a second time in the theater. That kind of does entice me to see it, of just getting the emotional moment from the end of the film and then having that trailer play, I think would be kind of cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good move, for them to do it. I mean, obviously you can't be releasing it as a regular trailer in cinemas and, you know, certainly not having it run in front of Endgame, 'cause that would be like a, you know, big problem, especially if folks hadn't seen Endgame yet. So yeah, I think running it as an end credit scene is pretty brilliant. Good on them. And I'm cool with that.
And Tim, just so you know, in a quick look, while there are a lot on change.org with the title Hulu, it does not appear anyone has started a change.org petition based on Disney getting operational control over Hulu. I know that's a concern for you. You love change.org. Yeah. in fact, with the search term Hulu, there are 370 results. So,
what in the world are people petitioning over at change.org with Hulu?
The first one, Save Lucifer. Fox canceled it. Let the CW, Hulu, or Netflix save it. Keep Xena on Hulu.
At change.org, because these are pressing social issues.
Make Aragon a Netflix/Hulu series. I'm telling you, Tim, there's... Yeah. Okay. No more rabbit holes.
I can't handle that.
Next topic. Crap. Next topic.
Can't handle it. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, some interviews. So there is a cool podcast out there that I don't listen to every episode of. I just listen to the ones that kind of grab my attention with whatever I find interesting and relevant. It's run by the Directors Guild of America. And so it's kind of like the, what's the with, what's his name, John Lipton? Inside the Actors Studio. You've seen those before, like on A&E. They've run for like 15 years, John, where they interview actors. Tell me you've never seen Inside the Actors Studio.
I don't think so.
Oh, gosh. All right. Anyway, so Directors Guild of America, they interview directors. They interview their guild members. And so the Russo brothers were on the most recent episode of this. Yes, it is filled with spoilers. And in fact, they announced that right up front. Spoilers for Endgame. And it's really, really interesting conversation. It's not too long. It's maybe 40 minutes or so. And it really got into... They didn't get into the nitty-gritty of the film. They talked a lot about filmmaking and philosophy and approach and that kind of stuff. And for folks who are familiar with the Russo's career, the Russo brothers really got their start in doing TV shows and commercials and that kind of stuff. So their brand of storytelling has always been serialized. And they talked about the differences in doing things that are serialized versus doing movies. And they said probably the biggest difference is that in doing a movie, you're really more focused on story. Whereas when you're doing something episodically, you're more focused on character development and you're letting character development turn into a story, because you have the time. It's a much longer form ability to do that. And obviously you have to have certain story beats and chop things up to fit each individual episode and keep things moving and interesting and all that. But there's not that concern that, oh my gosh, we have to tell an entire story in whatever 90 minutes, 2 hours that your movie is. Of course, the advantage that these guys had in the MCU was that they had, first of all, they did several movies within the 22 movies of the entire MCU. And so they were really able to kind of take everything that they learned and did in a more serialized format and apply that to film.
Over several films, several years. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they talked about like, hey, you know, the difference in like the emotional investment that we get in characters and being able to build those characters in movies over time. And it just had some really incredible perspective. It's absolutely worth listening to. So Directors Guild of America podcast, I think it's called the DGA podcast.
Okay.
That's worth listening to. Also, there was an interview with Joe Russo over at comicbook.com, and that I think was also about 40 minutes or so. They got into a lot of nitty-gritty stuff because, well, it was comicbook.com, so they were asking very specific questions of, well, hey, what about Hulk and his injured arm? And according to Joe Russo, he's like, yeah, that's permanent. Like, Hulk's arm is permanently fried from the stones. And there's a lot of things that he talked about in the movie, but also things that he postulated that kind of go beyond the movie, like that, like with Hulk's arm, that, okay, so maybe the next time we see Hulk, he's still going to have some kind of disability from that injury, mm-hmm. and, you know, other things involving certain characters. So that's definitely worth watching as well. You can do a quick Google onto comicbook.com and find that interview. It's a video interview.
Very cool. I will add the DGA one to my backlog of podcasts.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned a non MCU show a few times here. It's a little show. A couple people have seen it. A couple people get excited about it. Tim, have you heard of Game of Thrones?
Kind of on the fringes, slightly popular.
Okay.
Very culty. I mean, some people watch it.
Some people do. Yeah. So the King of the North is apparently going to join the Eternals. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking Sean Bean, Eddard Stark. We're not talking Jon Snow, Kit Harington. We are talking Richard Madden, Robb Stark. And so his role, his character, like most of the castings in the Eternals, is being, you know, kind of being kept close hold. I like his addition. I liked his acting in Game of Thrones. I guess he's on a BBC show, The Bodyguard. I've not seen that. But I really liked him in Game of Thrones. So I think just as an actor, as a young actor, relatively young actor, his joining the MCU will be nice. He's got some name recognition coming along with it. So very excited to see. And I mean, I like how they're letting some of these castings come out to continue to build the buzz on the Eternals.
Yeah, I agree, especially since a lot of people don't really know much about the Eternals and their background. They're putting some star power behind it, which is going to help drive, I think, some of that attraction to it. So late last week, Disney made a big announcement, which told us not much of anything. Because basically everything they released was untitled. But they put out a release schedule for covering the next few years, and that included Star Wars movies and Avatar movies and Disney Pixar animation and all sorts of stuff. It also included the slate of MCU films that are going to be coming up. And so they gave us dates, but they did not give us titles. So I'm going to kind of run through the dates here. And John, I figured you and I could just kind of postulate a little bit on what the possible, if not likely, movies are for those dates.
Okay.
So the first one that they announced here was May 1st, 2020. And it's been all but officially released that this is the date for Black Widow. I don't think there's any controversy on this one. This is basically what everyone is saying.
I mean, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard anything different at all on this?
No, because I don't think we've heard any rumors that any other ones have even started production.
Well, Shang-Chi, a few episodes ago, we did mention that Shang-Chi had apparently started filming in Australia. So this then gets into our second date, which is November 6, 2020. This date has been pushed quite a bit for the Eternals. And this is a date that's kind of been on the calendar-ish for a while. And obviously the Eternals has a lot of push behind it, just like we said, with all the star power and such. But they haven't started filming yet. Now, not that a November 2020 date is going to be challenging for them to meet if they haven't started filming. But if Shang-Chi has, in fact, already started filming, and some sources are saying yes, other sources aren't saying anything. And I think just simply because it's not a big expected film for folks, that's just kind of sitting there. I can't
imagine that's how they start.
With Shang-Chi?
Yeah. I mean, to me, the first one out has to be Black Widow.
Well, we're talking for the November date.
Oh, okay. I thought we were, if it's not Black Widow, then it's likely Shang-Chi. Okay, then that's fine. I don't disagree just based on the timing. I still kind of feel, and just looking at the ones that we've kind of got further down the list, that without knowing much about Shang-Chi, I don't know how he fits into phase four.
And I don't either, to be completely honest. I just don't know how it's going to roll together.
I'd rather be the Eternals, because I think they're going to play a bigger role in phase four. Mm-hmm. And then make the February 2021 Shang-Chi, if necessary, there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so February 12th, 2021 is then the third date that they have identified here. And yeah, that's basically going to be whatever doesn't show in November between Shang-Chi and the Eternals is what's going to show in February. I don't know what to think between those. I agree. The Eternals is like the bigger film. And maybe that's what they really want to push off with. Because, of course, Black Widow, the expectation here is that while Black Widow is a highly anticipated film, it's probably not going to be building much for us for Phase 4, because it's probably going to be an origin story.
Yep.
So, really, the big kickoff, I think, for Phase 4 is going to be whatever that November movie is. And I think The Eternals is going to be that's the punch. Right there. That's the punch in the gut. Shang-Chi, I think, is going to be a little more lower key. Mm-hmm. So now the next four dates: May 2021, February 2022, May 2022, and July 2022. Those are close.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think I'm missing one in there. I think there's a November 2021 also. Yeah. I think there's supposed to be. My show notes are off. There's a November something 2021. Across these, it's so really kind of unknown what's going to happen here. Look, we know we're going to get a Black Panther 2. We know we're going to have a Doctor Strange 2. We know we're going to have a Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to have a Spider-Man 3. So in terms of the movies that are directly related to the MCU. Now, they haven't said anything about, so interestingly enough, in their broader schedule, when they announce all these movies, so beyond just the Marvel movies, they did specify production studios, especially if something was a Fox production or a Pixar production.
Okay.
Nowhere in there did we see anything that specifically identified anything X-Men, Fantastic Four, or Deadpool.
Well, I know they've come out and said don't expect the X-Men anytime
soon. Right, not right away. I don't think they're going to hold on to these properties for a long time without putting something out.
I agree, but I think it's going to be, and we've talked about this before, just in terms of writing and scripting and casting, right, et cetera, it could be a couple years.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's not them not having a plan for them. That's literally just how long it takes to get a plan in place.
But there's Deadpool. And everyone has said, we're not changing anything for Deadpool. There's Ryan Reynolds. There's a costume. There's a character. We're not changing anything. He gets another movie. So there was no placeholder for Deadpool 3. Now, that's not to say that all these placeholders are definitive. They're, of course, subject to change on zero notice. They can add, they can subtract from them, they can insert more into them, they can change the dates, they can do whatever. So, I mean, I threw Deadpool 3 into this mix of potential dates, not because it's an MCU film. I mean, they've also been pretty clear that, okay, Deadpool's going to exist in its own world. It's a parody of the rest of the world, and that's how it's going to be. So I don't know exactly where Deadpool 3 is going to fit in this, but I would think that between now and 2022, we're going to get a Deadpool 3. I don't know that it's going to take up one of these dates. So absent our next discussion topic, I don't know we just simply don't know what other films, what other characters they're going to introduce into any of this. They could have an Eternals 2. They could have a Shang-Chi 2. We don't know, but I would assume that we're going to see Black Panther 2, Doctor Strange 2, Guardians 3 before we would see a sequel to Eternals or Shang-Chi.
Well, what we're also missing is any form of team up, and I don't want to call it an Avengers movie because maybe they are the Avengers, maybe they aren't.
Right.
I mean, but those kind of team ups that you know, kind of help push the individual storylines together to kind of push them back out. It was a very successful formula. I can't imagine they're going to move away from that.
Basically each phase from what we've seen has been spotlighted by an Avengers movie.
The other thing that we're missing, and Tim, I don't know, maybe you do, is a Captain Marvel 2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And given the success of that and how much they've kind of pushed her to the forefront, not seeing her on the list is, you know, kind of jumped out at me as well. You know, and you know, that's the thing is, I know they've released this list, and I keep coming up with, I think like you, all the logical next movies we could see, which are the twos and threes, and you know, the kind of benchmark team up Avengers type movies. And I already look at the list, and I'm like, there's not enough calendar dates, and they haven't introduced really anything new, minus the Eternals and Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, hey, who else is coming?
Yeah, it's. I mean, they really need to kind of meter themselves out, and obviously there's a lot of other existing characters that they're not covering. So even if it's not like the capstone team up movie, aka the Avengers, you still have, you know, Bucky and Falcon and Scarlet Witch and a number of other characters that they can't just, presumably, they're not going to just drop them off the radar for several years And even though we know that some of them are going to be on Disney Plus with their own series, I mean, is that going to be it for them? Are they no longer going to be in film? I mean, there's a lot of question marks, which I'm cool with. I don't need to know everything. But you know, I mean, that's just kind of, that's what we want to put out there for folks who are listening to us, is just some of the different considerations and permutations and all that stuff that could be out there. And I think until we start to see some kind of story form up that we can then consider, all right, what might be a logical progression? We just don't know.
Thank God we've got Ant-Man and the War Machine.
You know, sadly also, considering that the solo films have gone in threes, there may be an Ant-Man 3.
Ant-Man and the Wasp 3.
I say just give Wasp her own movie, kick Ant-Man right out of it, we're good to go. But on this schedule, Gambit is very clearly missing from this schedule. So, you know, we're kind of in that awkward phase of the marriage here between Fox and Disney and figuring out what things are going to go in the garage sale. And Gambit's gone. Gambit got sold cheap.
But apparently Magic Mike 3 is going to be Cajun theme.
Yeah. Also, New Mutants has very specifically been delayed again to April 3rd, 2020. I don't even know. Hello, Hulu. At this point, I mean, I think they're being very gracious. I think Disney's being very gracious in allowing Dark Phoenix to pretty much be the end of the Fox run of Marvel movies, and then just saying, okay, that's it, we're done, let's all walk away and change things.
I can't imagine that their first foray a year from now, where they're going to touch on mutants, would be New Mutants. And I mean, because to the casual fan, I think that would confuse them if they tried a year from now to put something that's not in the MCU out.
Exactly. To put something out like that and then to say, all right, so we got a movie for you, and the only reason we're putting it out is because it got finished, but it's not canon, so don't worry about it. That's weird and awkward. And
people understand it with Deadpool. Yeah. They understand it with Dark Phoenix. With a one-off movie like this, I think it'll have a lot of people scratching their heads. To me, it's a straight to Hulu or Disney Plus.
Yeah. The trailer for it was just really weird and just doesn't. And I'm all for, I mean, we've had discussions on like subgenre stuff, and I'm all for subgenre stuff, but this was just really weird and odd and kind of confusing. And I agree. This is not the way that Disney wants to at least even have the impression of starting off their run of the Fox movies. Dark Phoenix is just like so forgivable because it was ready to go. I mean, that bullet was loaded in the chamber and ready to fire. New Mutants, it just keeps getting pushed off because no one wants it. And, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate to have something like that not get released. I think it will still end up like on Hulu or something. All the creatives have been paid. You know, everyone got paid for doing their work on it. It's just that the studio's not going to make any money off of it. And quite honestly, I think even if it ends up in the theater, they're not going to make any money off of it.
No.
So, yeah, just don't bother.
It unfortunately just seems to be caught by bad timing.
Yeah, I agree. What else, John?
So speaking of our talk of Phase 4 and the potential movie list, the character Nova has been rumored to be added in. And I mean, I think Tim, we talked about this before we hit the magic record button. Looking at this list of movies, I mean, the only place he kind of fits in is if you add him into Guardians 3. You know, a cosmic character tied to Nova Corps. If they want to kind of add him into the Guardians, I guess I'm not a big Nova fan. You know, so, you know, this is a sure add him in, you know, space, but space is big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually want to see Marvel go too far into the cosmic kind of genre, because I think that gets a little bit confusing and kind of waters down the product a bit as well, because it's never been a huge part of the comics, at least the comics I read.
Well, and that's the thing. It actually is a big part of the comics, but similar to you, it's not one that I ever really paid much attention to. I mean, probably Infinity Gauntlet was the most significant, like, cosmic based one I ever read. And that was because it was so epic and it included so many of our Earthbound characters.
True.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we have the Guardians, and of course, the Guardians are kind of this. They're in this.
They're the A-team of space. Yeah,
exactly. They're like in this really odd position because they are cosmic, but then to an extent, they're kind of not, because they're very grounded, pun not intended.
You have a talking raccoon and a walking tree.
It's still very grounded, though.
Okay.
But then.
And Fat Thor.
So then, you know, we get Nova, which is then an addition to the cosmic side of things. We have Captain Marvel, who, again, mm-hmm. I mean, she's another one of those characters that she can be both, but she's really better off being cosmic considering how powerful she mm-hmm. is. And then we still have that mystery of Adam Warlock. And is Adam Warlock going to be unleashed in Guardians 3?
I hope so.
Which, yeah, I hope so too. But then I'm also wondering if we're going to get a villainous Adam Warlock in that regard. Because Nova has always been a hero. Captain Marvel has always been a hero. And I would be inclined... I'm not looking for Warlock to be the big bad for, you know, this whole next series. I'm not looking for him to be a Thanos analog, but to be a nemesis for a couple of movies. What was Adam Warlock's in the comics? He turned like gray. What was the name he gave himself then?
I didn't read those comics.
I think that was all in the aftermath of the Infinity Gauntlet, because he was corrupted by the stones. Evil Adam Warlock is Magus.
Okay.
He was corrupted by the stones, and so that's a possibility.
Okay.
For something that they could do there. But yeah, they have to also, just like they did in the comics, 90% of the time, your Earthbound heroes and your cosmic heroes, or even your Earthbound stories and your cosmic stories, are separated from each other because you're dealing with completely different scales of power and physics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very narrow overlap mm-hmm. between the two.
And don't forget that Star-Lord got a Bowflex, and he did commit.
He committed.
So he and Thor can work out. On the Milano.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good call. Good call. And good. I always forget the name of their ship. So also another good callback on the ship.
Oh, early girlfriend, Alyssa Milano.
Good for you.
Early girlfriend.
Lizzie would be proud. So up next, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 started. It started last week. it was interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do in this. I'm really hoping I'm not going to lose interest. I love how they have brought Clark Gregg back into it as not Coulson. That part of the storyline I'm very intrigued by. There is a, speaking of cosmic components, there is a space component to the story, which I'm just not thrilled about S.H.I.E.L.D. being in space. I'm kind of over that after last season. I just want them to be back on Earth and doing things. There is a little confusion in terms of when all this stuff is going on. And actually, in an interview, Ming-Na Wen, who plays Agent May, she kind of spilled the beans that they've departed from the MCU timeline. So interestingly enough, while season 5 began what seemed to be right before Infinity War, season 6 is still pre-snap, they're saying, which just really skews a lot of things, and I'm not sure I understand it. And so I think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has just said, you know what, we're just going to stop trying.
Yeah.
We're going to stop.
Sounds like
we're
going
to stop the whole charade. We're just going to do our own thing. Screw the MCU. And whatever, that's fine. If they just tell good stories, stop trying to make it connected if it's not going to be connected, and just do your own thing. That's cool. That's fine. Yeah. Just do that. Thanks.
No, absolutely. So this next little bit, Tim, I was actually a little bit surprised you gave me this topic, being that you are a bigger Fantastic Four fan than I am. But in the new Marvel comics, and I'm going back to the article, of, is this a re-release of the Fantastic Four?
No, I think this is just a kind of a, the new iteration of the, you know, of
the new iteration,
updated design, all that kind of stuff. New art.
Yeah. New artist, you know, what have you. Within this, it has been noted that Reed Richards looks a lot like John Krasinski.
A lot like him. It is him.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
if you go and Google this, and we'll throw the picture up into Discord. And in the panel they have, you can't really see Johnny Storm, you know, that well. I spent a lot of time looking at Sue Storm to see if, you know, they were trying to do something with an actress with her. Hers is a very generic face. Reed Richards is in fact, now John Krasinski, which this is not the first time they've done this. I mean, they modified Iron Man to look a lot more like Robert Downey Jr.
Totally.
Once he took on the role.
Mm-hmm.
In Ultimate X-Men, years before the MCU, Nick Fury was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there was no shadow of a doubt with that. So interesting choice, especially since we just talked about that no Fantastic Four film has been announced, identified. But I gotta tell you, based on the comic panel, I'm in. I I'm sold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it totally looks like him. And you know what? I mean, it's maybe this is just sheer circumstance, and this is just, you know, a new artist rendition of him, and they're looking to update him. But this also makes me curious about, this is going to probably force me to jump into these new comics to at least take a look and see what they're doing. Because I want to see a reworked Doctor Doom.
Oh, absolutely.
I would love to see like Dr. Doom be like really, really hardcore. And again, I mean, everyone here knows my feelings about bringing Dr. Doom into the MCU. So I think it's a great opportunity. But even if this is just solely in the comics and has no, this doesn't lead at all into the MCU, I think it's a cool direction. I think it's a great direction.
And I will once again state my preference for the Thing is CM Punk.
Yes. Yeah.
I just, you know, in my dream world, someone listening somehow, you know, gets that to him and eventually we get credit.
That works for me. That works for me.
Big CM Punk fan.
So to close this out here, I have just kind of a fun fact relative to Sony. And this article is up from scoopwhoop.com. Really? That's where I found it? All right. Never heard of them before. It's what comes up in my... Oh, gosh. Are you going to make fun of me for using a listserv?
No. I just was making fun of the name of Scoop Whoop.
Eric makes fun of me for using a listserv. He of course, uses RSS feeds. I'm like... Listservs are very easy to do through Google, and so I just, every day, Google sends me an email with news relevant to, that I put keywords in relevant to each of the shows that I do, so.
I mean, it certainly beats when you ask me to do the show notes, and I desperately start Googling random terms to come up with the news articles, so.
Yeah, no.
I'm not gonna make fun of you because I was like... As you're explaining, I'm like, God damn, that'd be so much simpler.
It is. It's outstanding. So let's see. Sony apparently had the opportunity to buy rights to all Marvel characters, cinematic rights, to all Marvel characters for a whopping total of $25 million back in 1998.
So one-tenth of Endgame.
Yes. And they would have had rights to absolutely everything.
So like the first, I don't know, 4 hours of Endgame's release, give or take?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I mean, okay.
Apparently Sony folks had met with Marvel, and Marvel made them this offer because, of course, you know, Marvel was going... had bankruptcy on the horizon, which is why they had sold off these rights in the first place. And so the executive that came back to the Sony producers told them about this. And the Sony producers says, I'm going to slightly edit here just for the sake of our language filter. Nobody gives a crap about any of the other Marvel characters. Go back and do a deal only for Spider-Man.
All right. Does that person still work at Sony?
You know, probably not. So the article says that's right. They legit thought none of the other characters had any cinematic value. It's hard to imagine what they might be going through these days. Subsequently, Marvel agreed to a Spider-Man only offer for $10 million. So Sony still got a darn good deal there.
Oh, absolutely.
But boy, they could have had so much more for not much.
Yep.
And of course, in 2009, Disney acquired Marvel for $4 billion. And that didn't include Spider-Man or the X-Men or the Fantastic Four. Or actually even the Hulk, which is owned by his rights owned by Universal. So, yeah, just kind of funny that little bit of hindsight there, and someone in Sony probably still kicks themselves over that, or wherever it is that they're currently employed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that is all we have. John, would you like to take us out?
Well, I've got one more thing we didn't touch on.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'd send it to you and Lizzie during the week. Just a little fun thing, because I love the human stories of actors and actresses. Of Chris Evans going back to his high school reunion. Yeah.
Wearing a name tag.
And wearing a name tag that just said Chris. And lots of photos coming out of it from his classmates, tweeting about it. You know, Kim kind of all smiles. And just to me, that's really cool that, you know, in a year where he starred in the second biggest movie ever, for him to go back to his high school reunion is very cool.
Yeah.
To do something that by no means obligated to do. Maybe he had a fantastic high school experience, was still friends with a lot of those people. I don't know. But very cool of him. And also the fact that he was wearing a cardigan sweater, yeah, which I love cardigan sweaters. And so I will never take for anyone for wearing them again, because Chris Evans also wears the cardigan sweater.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel even better about me and cardigan sweaters now.
Good for you, John. I'm glad that Chris Evans' high school reunion was an empowering experience for you.
It was. It turns out it was. So on that note, please send us your feedback. Let me know if you also like to wear cardigan sweaters. You can reach us at guardians@randomchatter.com. And of course, you can reach us via Discord in our Discord channel.
You can, of course, find us over on Twitter. You can hit the network at Random Chatter. You can find Liz at TWT About Lizzie. And you can find me at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. You can also find us over on Instagram under the handle Random Chatter. John, where can we find you on Instagram?
You can find me at underscore John Stewart.
And you can find Liz on Instagram at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie. And folks, that is all we have this week. Enjoy your week, and we will catch you next week. Thanks for listening.